Good morning. It's a blessing to be here. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be speaking to young people who want to serve the Lord. There's part of me that feels a little bit unsure if I should be here. And I'll tell you why that is. It seems like such a short time ago, 25, 30 years ago, that I would have been sitting where you're sitting today. And that time has just went so quick. And I just want to bless you as you think about growing old like I am. I feel just a little bit emotional right now, and I'll tell you why. Jake, that devotions that you had was very profound. And I think you'll understand why when you hear this subject or what I want to talk about. That last song that we sang, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Very profound. I believe God is working here this morning. The first little bit here, I want to talk to you about the two kingdoms. And I want you to think about very, very closely about two kingdoms. When we look at history, there's been many times different countries have been at war. You know, there was the First World War. There was the Second World War. There is the war between Russia and Ukraine. There's the Gaza Strip. There's war. There's battles being fought. Literal battles being fought with modern warfare. And it's a terrible thing. War destroys many lives. It's horrible. There is so many aspects of a battle of war that is devastating. I don't know whether you have ever had the opportunity to be in a war-torn country. As a family, a couple years ago, we traveled to the Ukraine, and I had the privilege of being a driver for a medical team. And we visited a lot of different villages in the Ukraine. I want to talk to you about two of those villages just for a little bit. The one village we went to, I'm not even going to try to say their names because I could hardly pronounce them even when I was over there. But it was close to Hiroshima. They were right close to the area where the Russians first invaded Ukraine. And the people of that village talked to us how when the Russians came in, how polite they were. They talked about they came in and they went door to door. And they asked, you know, they asked them a few questions, but they were very polite. They'd say, "I'm sorry that we're invading your privacy. We're sorry that they're here, that we are here." They were apologetic, and they asked them if they had any weapons. If they did, they took them, and they asked them, you know, if they have anybody who's serving in their family that's serving in the Ukrainian army, and if they were, they wanted to know more information. And that really struck me. And this village, you know, the people were fairly peaceful. Like that you could, you know, besides a few, you could tell that they weren't affected that much by the Russian invasion. But at that time, the Russian army still had not met the Ukrainian army. So, and I'm not even sure they knew for sure what they were there for. There was another village. Actually, a few more. Thinking of one in specific. As we traveled in with the medical vans, you know, the first thing we noticed was that in this village, probably a village of maybe 1,000, 1,500 people, we saw that there was houses that were destroyed. There were roofs that were missing. There was many fences. I don't know if you've ever been in the Ukraine, but a lot of your houses have fences around them. There was many bullet holes in those fences. Now, the people that came to that clinic, their eyes were haunted. You could see that there was distress in their faces. They were very visibly affected emotionally because of the battles that they had been in. And they were in distress. Their medical needs actually weren't that different from the two villages because both villages did not have medical any medical help. They were short on medications, and it was a blessing to be there and help provide that. But there was a big difference in between those two villages. Maybe some of you, raise your hand, you've ever had the privilege of visiting a war-torn country. Okay. I'm actually going to ask you to raise your hand again. And this is very serious. So I want you all to raise your hands. Everybody put your hand up. I'm here this morning, I'm telling you, you are in a war-torn country. Okay? You're in a war-torn country. If you live in anywhere in the world, you're in a war-torn country. I want to talk about that for a while, about that with you for a while this morning. That's my introduction. Maybe you kind of understand why Jake's devotions hit me so hard in that song we sang. So, war is horrible. And normally, if you're involved in a war, your citizenship of the country you were born in is usually the side of the battle that you are part of. The war that you're involved in is not that way, is it? You can be born in the U.S., you can be born in Canada, and it doesn't really determine which side of the battle that you're on. Let's talk a little bit, first of all, about what it takes for there to be a war. When two countries are at war, often they are battling over land. They're battling over natural resources. They battle over religion. They even sometimes battle about control over the population. And each one of those countries has what I'm going to call a commander in chief. Okay? There's somebody who's at the top. There's somebody who is orchestrating the moves of the battle. They're the ones that understand why they are at war, be it whether they're in a position of defense or offense. They understand it. And this morning, commanders in chiefs, presidents, prime ministers, and our commander in chief, it doesn't matter which side of the battle you're on, they operate very differently. And I want to talk about our battle. And by now you've caught on, I'm talking about a spiritual battle. Our commander in chief, and I don't care which side you're on, you have one. Think about it. You have one. You are serving a kingdom. And if you're in that kingdom, you are serving that commander in chief. There's no in between. It's you're serving one or you're serving the other. That first village that I talked about, that village in Ukraine who the Russian soldiers were polite to, that village did not have the opportunity yet to know who they were facing. They didn't know the real army that they were facing. In that village, there was a lady came to me and wanted to talk to me. And she explained to me what happened to her. You know, they realized that the Russians were evading. And they had family that lived in Kiev. And a couple of days after the Russians came through that village, they traveled the road to Kiev. And she cried. And I could see the emotional distress of what they saw on that road. Because they had seen a battle. They saw the aftermath of a battle. And it's affected her to this day, and it affects many to this day. And young people, and all of us here, as soldiers, we see many aftermath of battles, don't we? And that can be in our hearts. That can be in the hearts of others around us. Now, I want to think a little bit about our commander-in-chief. And let's name them. Our commander-in-chief is Jesus Christ. The other side is Lucifer. It's the devil. And let's just look at a couple Bible verses that describe a little bit about what the commander-in-chiefs in the battle that we are in, how they direct their armies, how they relate to their soldiers, how they direct their army as a whole. And first of all, I want you to stand, and I'll stand, and let's recite John 3:16 together. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever
believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our commander-in-chief is motivated by one thing, and that's love for us. He loves everybody. He loves his soldiers. He loves them so much that he equips them for this battle. And he equips them for the battle that he actually has given them a guide that they carry with them wherever they are battling, whatever they are facing. He equips them in a way that when they face something horrible or they have a bad experience, that his soldiers can open up this book, the Bible, and there'll be something in these pages that'll help you through what you've experienced. He equips us in a way that we can know, when we know there's a battle coming, that we're going to be facing something, before we face it, we can do the same thing and we can look in this book. And this book is going to give us direction in how to fight this battle and how to face the enemy that we're facing. Now, I would like to read. Lost my page here. The other commander-in-chief of the other army, of the other kingdom. The Bible says he roamed around looking whom he may devour. I want you to think about that a little bit and think about this contrast. Our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, he equips his soldiers. He gives them a guidebook. He gives them a book that you actually can physically look at that is the empowered word of God, that is truth, that we know we cannot go wrong by reading that book and following it. The other commander-in-chief, the devil, he roams looking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy. And do you know what the amazing part is that I want you to think about it? Actually, like really think about it. Tonight, when you're laying in your bed, you think about this. That the devil, he doesn't only want to destroy those who are not his soldiers, are the enemy soldiers, but he wants to destroy his own soldiers. He knows the battle's already won. He knows that he's lost. And he wants to take every one of you to hell with him. That's what he's battling. He's battling over souls. He's actually battling over souls. And he wants to take as many as he can to eternal destruction with him. And he wants to use you, like Jake said. Somebody follows you. He wants to use the mistakes that you make and what you're doing that isn't following the word of God to affect others. Such a contrast, isn't it? It's a contrast that is, when I think about it, becomes so vivid to me. I wonder, why do I battle like I do sometimes to do the right thing? So, we're at war. We are in a battle. And we're in a war-torn country. And I know I kind of tricked you into not raising your hand. And that's okay. I hope it drove a point home. But I want you to think a little bit, and I want you to observe as you live your life. Put yourself in situations where you see the destruction of the other army. So it's real to you. You don't have to go very far. It's becoming more evident as the days go on. More and more and more evident. If you have contact with unbelievers, sometimes just watch their faces and you kind of, there's a bit of that vacant look. Those who are following, who are soldiers of the other kingdom. And this is what's so important for us to grasp, is that by default, they are soldiers of the devil. It almost doesn't seem fair, does it? By default, you also were a soldier for the devil. Every one of us needs to make a decision. We all have to have a citizenship change. If you want to be part of Jesus' kingdom, if you want Jesus to be your commander in chief, you have to make a choice. There needs to be a citizenship change. Sometime, go for a walk in a city and maybe just do some people watching, okay? Maybe do it in your local town or go to Kitchener or Stratford or any city, Listowel, and do some people watching. And just watch people's faces and observe the pain that you will see, the confusion that you will see, the hopelessness that you will see. It's unbelievable. The commander-in-chief of the opposing army, of the opposing kingdom, the devil, he is an expert, and I mean an expert, at so many ways to to deceive people, to entrap them. Addictions. Jake, thank you for your devotions. Addictions. He's an expert at it. And he uses so many innocent ways to trap people. And he actually uses generational sins to trap people as well. And it's astounding when you think about it, it feels like to me sometimes, the little chance that those who are deceived by the devil have, except for you. If you're a soldier of the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus is your commander in chief, that is the chance that a lot of these people have. I'm so thankful this morning for my commander-in-chief. You think about it. You're serving a kingdom that is motivated by love. He has reached out to me in spite of all my weaknesses, all the mistakes I make. And he offers me forgiveness. He offers me healing. And he wants his army to be whole. He wants his army to be experiencing victory. He wants his army to have healing from emotional hurts. He wants his army to be equipped to be able to share a testimony, like we heard this morning, devotions, to share testimony with others so that they are motivated to also join the army of Jesus Christ. to have Jesus Christ as our commander in chief. You know, in a war, there is so many outcomes. You know, I don't understand what the war in Ukraine, what Putin, what Russia has in mind. But it's very clear, and God teaches us in the Word of God what our enemy has in mind. And I want to make this as vivid as I can to you, that the devil, the army, the other kingdom, the kingdom of this world, is very offensive. The devil is seeking who he may devour. The devil is actually out there creating battles, starting battles. He's not just sitting in the background and there's a Christian, let's go after him. He's actively planning. He has a battle plan in mind. In fact, I would say he has a battle plan in mind for my life and for yours. He has it laid out. He's going to try to trip you up. That's his battle plan. And our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, has made a way for us. But I want to be so much more aware of it in my life that when I face a temptation, think about it. When I face a temptation, we can say, oh, I was tempted. Okay, that's true. We were tempted. But are you understand what I'm trying to say? That is actually the devil who has brought that temptation to you. It's part of his plan. So it's so important for us to actually win those battles, to be victorious over that temptation. It's not just a temptation. It's a part of a whole scheme to cause you to fall or to deceive you in some way. The other thing, young people, it's so easy, and old people, myself as well, it's so easy to think that there's a middle ground. Have you ever thought that? You know, there's a middle ground. I'm going to do the right thing in almost everything. I'm going to attend church. I'm going to say the right words. I'm going to be involved in my youth group. But there's part of your life that you're holding back. I've been guilty of that. That you're holding back and you're not willing to bring to Jesus. And when I read my Bible, it tells me that I'm not a soldier of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not my commander-in-chief. The interesting thing is that our commander-in-chief is jealous. He wants every part of you. He wants everything. Our enemy, the devil, he actually doesn't care that much. Do you know that? As long as he has something of you, he knows that he has you. If you keep part of you for yourself, which is in turn not giving everything to Christ, then he knows that he has you, and he knows that it will be a downward spiral. Jake even alluded to that this morning, and I appreciate that so much, that it's a downward spiral. So in that sense, he's not jealous like our commander-in-chief is. He doesn't require everything. He just wants to make sure that you don't make it to heaven. Jesus said, I don't think we'll turn to it. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. And the rest of the weekend here, and as we talk and we have discussions. I want to spend a lot of time in what does it look like in 2024 to be a soldier for Jesus Christ? What does it actually look like to have Jesus as your commander-in-chief? What does that look like? And I think it's a question that I want you to think about. Maybe when you're in your prayer groups, discuss a little bit, because I'm going to be looking for your input. Is what does it really look like to be a soldier for Jesus Christ and to have Jesus as your commander-in-chief in 2024? That scripture, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The sober and the vigilant part is something I want to bring out here this morning a little bit. It's hard work. We all know that we were born with a sin nature, and everything around us, all the voices that are speaking to us, I'm going to say 99% of them, especially depending who you're listening to and what you're listening to, is going to drag you down. It's actually designed to get you to switch kingdoms. And it's actually scary to think about that, how vigilant we need to be. And I don't mean to scare you in that sense, but we have to be vigilant, because the devil's looking to destroy us. What propaganda are you filling your mind with? And I need to give this an example, because it became so aware of me. When we were in the Ukraine, what was the Underground Baptist Church, so not the registered church, the Underground Baptist Church, they have churches. They're actually a fairly large conference of churches today. And they have churches in the Ukraine, and they have churches in Russia. And it has literally caused a church split. Because some of the churches in Russia are caught up, because of all the propaganda that they hear, that they don't actually, and I'm talking churches, they don't actually understand what Russia is doing in Ukraine. They don't believe what he's doing, because of the propaganda that they hear. And that's on a physical thing. And we know that the devil understands that if we want to make to heaven, we need to be spiritual right. Our hearts need to be hard, are bright. And he has all kinds of propaganda for us today as well, to lead us astray, to make sure that we don't give all of our life to Jesus Christ. So we have choices. We have choices what propaganda we listen to, what we hear. Yes, we can't block everything out. And many have tried. Many have tried to isolate themselves in a religious culture, away from all the propaganda, away from all the temptations. And it usually doesn't take very long in a group like that, where they're ripped apart from the inside, because the devil is in their midst as well. And we actually have to have an experience in our hearts that is going to keep us alive, that's going to keep us serving our commander and chief. It's impossible to use outward things to keep our salvation. It doesn't mean sometimes that there's not things we need to do, but we'll maybe talk about that in some of the other sessions as well. Somebody has their Bible. Would you open it up to Matthew 6:24, and maybe just stand and read it. Matthew 6:24.
No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God.
Okay, thank you. Serving two masters. We're on a journey. I understand that. Every one of us is on a journey. And God understands that. And I think, and we know that God does not expect perfection from us, but he expects our heart to be drawn toward him. He expects our hearts to love him. And when we love him, we're going to reach out to his strength to be as perfect as we possibly can be, and to learn from our mistakes. Because we will make mistakes. The fallacy that I see so much in the time that we live in is that somehow it seems so easy and so okay to serve two masters, saying it bluntly. And the verse that Joe just read said very clearly that we can't serve two masters. So a commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, I mentioned earlier, he's jealous. He wants all of us. And I want to, in our next session, I want to explore that. He's a jealous God. And why is it that we can't serve two masters? That verse says that we're going to love the one and despise the other. So the question comes to me, well, who do I love? Who do I despise? Do you understand that that is the key for being victorious over temptations? That's actually the key for being victorious in your life, in the time that you spend here, is who you love. There's no way that we can expect to love the things of the other kingdom and be victorious in our Christian life. And I don't even please understand, there's no way that I've attained to that. Just ask my wife. I'm very human. But honestly, there is no way that we can serve two masters. And if you find yourself hankering over the things of this world, if you find yourself thinking about the things of this world, and I don't hardly know how to express it to you, I just pray that this weekend you can leave this with a pure desire to actually serve your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a new way, in a closer way, and you know, have victory over that natural thing of actually loving parts of the other kingdom. We do. I do. I know from experience. But somehow, young people, your lives are ahead of you, and I know each one of you want to have as much effect for the good, as much effect on those lost souls around us as you possibly can. I see it in your faces. I see it, and it blesses me. And somehow, though, we need to, if we want to be effective, we have to hate the things of this world. And that's, there's so many different things we could talk about. And I don't want to get into that now, but I want you to think about it. I want your input. For our next session, I actually want you to, if you can, think about it and come up with examples of things that maybe you have questions about. Is this hankering after the things of this world, or is this not? And I don't think we'll be able to come up with a pat answer by any means. But I think you'll soon see a pattern. I think you'll see a pattern. I might throw some questions out to use that. These might even be a little bit uncomfortable answer, but please do. There's no really right or wrong answer. And there's definitely not an issue with if you do give the wrong answer. or what I think is the wrong answer. So, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they're all our commander-in-chiefs. And I thought about this morning. I haven't thought about it a lot, but do you understand the Trinity, that is actually a real benefit that those who are serving Lucifer, the devil, the same being, we have three commanders-in-chief in that sense that are one. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's with us. We have Jesus Christ, who voluntarily did what his Father asked him to do, who understood the heart of his Father, and he died for us for our sins. And then we have God the Father, who created us, who loves us. And we are set up for success. We're actually set up for success if we follow the Word of God. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning. I thank you so much, God, for this opportunity of sharing your word to these young people. Thank you, God, for what I've observed in their lives. Thank you, God, that I can see the desire in their hearts to serve you, to have you as their commander in chief. God, I just pray that each one of them could look into your word, to study your word, and to see that God loves them, that God is motivated by his love for us. Lord, I just ask, God, that we could all grow to understand what a soldier that is serving in your army does, what he loves, what his emphasis in life is. And God, I just ask you would help us to be so aware of the evil one that's roaming around seeking whom he can devour. Help us, God, to be more aware of spiritual battle and to make decisions and to live our lives in a way, God, that will not only make it easy for us to make the right decisions, but God, that would also be an example and make it easy for others who are observing our lives, our friends, those who are lost we have contact with, to make a decision to serve you. Just pray your blessing on this weekend. Bless the youth, bless the leaders that are here from Berea. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.